Okay. Well done, Rachelev. Now the name of the Nashanah. Okay, Bez Hashem. We're starting, which will hopefully be a weekly shiur. Lila Nishmas, my mother-in-law, Rebbetzin Kreisworth, Miriam Legitobas, Harav Reb Avram Abba, Allah Shalom. And as we said, there's weekly sponsorships available for the delicious hot refreshments. And a special thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Andy Lefkowitz, who gave a very nice, significant sponsorship that we could get this year off the ground. Bez Hashem, and Shkech to Sweet Turner and family for his sponsorships and all his help also in the food aspect and everything else. That's no pressure there, Sweet. Okay, and everyone else who helped out. So this week we're going to talk about Kvura in Eretz Yisrael. And as we'll see, I didn't mean it this way, but Itaka, the shailas, some of the shailas we're going to talk about, we've got a negea to my mother-in-law. As I'll hopefully remember to say towards the end of the shiur, how it came up. But I didn't even mean that's the reason to start the shiur with that, with this topic. But in this week's parsha, we have that Hashem says to Yaakov Avinu, that Anoichi Eredim Cha Mitzrayim, I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim, V'anoichi Alcha Gam Aloi, and I'm going to come up with you as well. And Rashi is right away bothered, he doesn't say it, but he's bothered by the question, Yaakov Avinu didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael. He came back only after he was nifter. So Rashi says that it means that he's going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. That when Hashem said, "V'anoichi alcha gam aloi," that I'm going to come up with you, it means the kfura is going to be in Eretz Yisrael in the Maras HaMachpelah. The Ibn Ezra also says, "Alcha gam aloi" means she cover Eretz Yisrael. He'll be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Rashbam as well. So you see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yaakov Avinu, "You're going to go down to Mitzrayim. I'm going with you. I'm going to come back up with you." Excuse me. He was giving him avtacha for kvura in Eretz Yisrael. So as we know, it seems from numerous sources that there's a mila to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. This is going to be the first one. Parshas Vayigash. We know Yosef HaTzadik as well. Asked Klal Yisrael to take him up. Next week, Yaakov Avinu is going to ask Yosef to promise to take him up to Eretz Yisrael. So we see, it seems, at least from these tzaddikim, that they had a desire to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Gemara in Ksubis tells us on Kuf Yod Aleph, Kol HaKover Beretz Yisrael, anyone who's buried in Eretz Yisrael, Ki'ilu Kover Tachas HaMizbeach, is as if he's buried under the Mizbeach. Shenemar, the Gemara brings two psukim. It says Mizbeach Adama Tasali, and it says V'chiper Admasai Amoy. So the Gemara learning V'chiper Admasai Amoy is referring to burial. Mizbeach Adama Tasali, they're both Adama. So you see that anyone who is buried in Eretz Yisrael is Ki'ilu Kavur Tachas HaMizbeach. He's as if he's buried under the Mizbeach. So that's one Gemara over there in Ksubis, which highlights the idea of what is the mile of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara over there says an interesting thing. The Gemara says a story with Ula. Ula used to go back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, and when he was nifter in Chutz Laretz, and they brought him up to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Lazar heard that Ula was nifter in Eretz Yisrael. So he made a comment about it. So they told him, that he was nifter in Chutz Laretz. He made a comment. So they told him, but he's going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. They're bringing him for burial here. So Reb Lazar said, there's a difference between a person who's nifter in Eretz Yisrael and is buried in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Kaltasai, gathered him in while he was alive, to a person who is nifter in Chutz Laretz, and Eretz Yisrael Kaltasai brings him in after his death. So even though we see over here a concept of Eretz Yisrael doing something for the person who's being buried there, but Rabbi Lazar is saying if he's living there and then is nifter there and buried there, that's even a higher madrega. That's even a higher madrega. So there's a difference between being nifter in Eretz Yisrael and being nifter in Chutz Laretz. However, there is this, still we see the idea of burial in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Yerushalmi in Kelayim says, there's a machlaikis over there how to learn psukim, but there's one man do Amar that says that a person who dies and is buried in Chutz Laretz is as if he died twice. A person who dies in Chutz Laretz is buried in Eretz Yisrael, so kilu meis rak pamachas. Somehow the burial in Chutz Laretz is like another misa. If he's buried in Eretz Yisrael, he only died once. So again, you see some type of maila for the neshama, for the person, with this burial in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Yalkut Me'am Loyes in Parshas Vayechi brings from a Sefer Chesed Lavram that says the following words. I don't know what they mean, but we'll just say what he says. He says, Shar HaShamayim, the entrance way to Shamayim, is an opening that is square, Shelemaila Pivtsar, on the top it's very narrow, it's only 500 Amas by 500 Amas, the size of the Beis HaMikdash. On the bottom it's very wide, it's 400 Parsa by 400 Parsa, which is the size of Eretz Yisrael. So the basic idea is that anyone who is buried in Eretz Yisrael, so they're at the bottom of this opening, and then they could always make their way straight up to the top, which is Shar HaShamayim, which is, seems to be in Yerushalayim above the Beis HaMikdash, and anyone, the Shamas, could go up there. So what's the Nafkamina? So the Ches Avram says, because in the first 12 months, the Gemara tells us that the Neshama goes up and down. Shamayim, back to the Guf, it's found by the Kever. The Gemara says in Gemara Masechta Shabbos, the Neshama goes to visit the Guf all 12 months, the first 12 months. So the Gemara says, so the Chesed Avram says, but on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, the Neshama is up in Shamayim. And in fact, Grada, Alpi, the Chassidim say, Alpi Zayar HaKadosh, that not only in the 12 months, any time, the Neshama, any Yomim She'ein Oimrim Behem Tachanun, they say the Neshama is not at the Kever. That's why they don't go to Kvarim and Yomim She'ein Oimrim Behem Tachanun. Chassidim very big into that. There's no reason to go. The Neshama is not there. The Neshama went up to Shemayim. I don't know what these words mean. Just tell you what it says. So says the Chesed Lavram, so if a Neshama is in Eretz Yisrael, it's got a very easy path up and down. Every time it has to make a trip. If it's in Chutz Laretz, it's got to make its way through all these Kitrugim and Malachim to get to the door. So Mamela, it's a much harder trip. So therefore, that's the Me'am Loya says another reason why, B'Shem Nechesel Avram, what the mile of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, because you right away have an entrance to the Shara Shamayim, and it's much easier for the Neshama. Now, the lashon of the Medrash Tanchuma is kol hakaver b'Eretz Yisrael kiilu kaver b'loy avayin. There's some type of kapara of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rambam actually in Hilchos Melachim says that lashon kol hakaver b'Eretz Yisrael nischaper loy. There's a kapara. Also, it has to do with that mizbeach. The mizbeach we're talking mizbeach kapara is a kapara. So we see over here that there's a lot of milas to Eretz Yisrael. Now, some of Farshim say, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a Maila to Yerushalayim. Especially if you say that it has to do with the Mizbeach. Anyone who's buried in Eretz Yisrael, kilu kover tachas ha-Mizbeach. Well, the Mizbeach is for sure in Yerushalayim. So the closer you are to the Mizbeach, the more it's considered your kover tachas ha-Mizbeach. And therefore you find that there's a concept of being buried in Yerushalayim. Even in Eretz Yisrael, there's a Maila to Yerushalayim. There's a Ramban that talks about taking we'll talk about this a little bit later, but bringing a mace from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael. So he writes, if you're taking him to Eretz Yisrael, Vili Yerushalayim, there's a Maila. So it seems the Ramban is throwing in, it's not only Eretz Yisrael, it's Yerushalayim. There's a Maila to that as well. Now, some of Farshim say Eretz Yisrael b'chlal, there's Tosefes Kedusha. It's just a holier place to be buried. And if Yerushalayim is even holier than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, so it makes sense that Yerushalayim has a Maila. So from all these things here, we see the Maila of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's the counter-argument to not be buried in Eretz Yisrael? So the Sefer Chassidim writes that there's a maila when relatives come to visit the kever. relatives of the Nifter come to the kever and they daven for the neshama and they do schusim for the neshama. So memela, it's a big mila. So he writes, now you have to remember, put things into perspective, travel, you know, before 50 years ago, travel from Chutz L'Aretz to Eretz Yisrael, 50, 70, 80, 100 years ago, was an impossibility. It was very, very rare. So therefore, if someone went from Chutz L'Aretz to Eretz Yisrael, was buried there, it was not very logical that there'd be visitors if his family lived in Chutz L'Aretz. So therefore, there's no one to go to the kever, or at least not very often. And Mamela is up to say for Chassidim, if there's no, people aren't going to go there, it's a chasarn for the neshama. The neshama wants that the relative should go there, and it's a chus for the neshama. So therefore, to be buried in Chutzlar, it says to say for Chassidim, if there's going to be more visitors there to the kever, that's a bigger mile. Al pi Zayar HaKadosh, the Zayar HaKadosh seems to say mefurish, that someone who didn't live in Eretz Yisrael should not be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Zayar's a psalosh and it's metame Eretz Yisrael. You bring someone who lived in Chutz Laretz. Chutz Laretz has tumah to it. And the Gemara says, if you live in Chutz Laretz, there's this concept of kamisha ein le'alikaz. If you don't have Hashem over there, there's Chutz Laretz is not Eretz Yisrael. So to take someone who lived in Chutz Laretz, was nifter in Chutz Laretz, and to go bring them to Eretz Yisrael, says the Zayar, that's not something that we do. And therefore, al pi Zayar HaKadosh, there's an inyan bedafka not to. Bedafka not to bring to Eretz Yisrael. Now there's a tshuva for Rav Henkin, a fascinating tshuva. It's actually in two places. It's in a journal called Amat Torah from many years ago, and it's in his own tshuva sefer called Tshuvas Ivri. And he says a fascinating thing, Rav Henkin. He was asked about this, and he says that, and this is in Tafshin Yud Tes, he wrote this. So Tafshin Yud Tes is 1959. In 1959, he wrote the following. He says that there is, he says, the first thing is, he says, if you'll have a person, he writes, he says, Tamidei Chachamim Gidoilim, who are very medaktik b'mitzvahs, kala v'chamura, they're mamish like big tzaddikim, so you want to say now, bring them up to Eretz Yisrael, they should have the mile of being buried in Eretz Yisrael? No, we find Yaakov Avinu, Yosef HaTzadik. And he writes an interesting thing, he says, and don't bring me a riot that the other Shvatim came along, because if you'll notice throughout the Torah, Yaakov and Yosef are the only two highlighted ones that went to Eretz Yisrael. If the other Shvatim went, mashma, shahoyu ke'ein tofel la'arayna shal Yosef. Once Yosef was going, they were secondary. But Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik, Yaakov is Yaakov Avinu. Those went up, they were ready bringing Yosef, so they brought everybody else with them as well. It's a chiddush, even the Shvatim, he doesn't want to be Mesiaches, that they're big enough to have their own Aliyah l'Eretz Yisrael. He says, Avo benidan didan, in his case, whatever he was talking about, he says, first of all, it's Yuhara. It's like haughtiness. It's a haughty thing. I'm so chashuv that I want to be matriach, everybody take me to Eretz Yisrael. Number one. Then he says, this is such a Rav Henkin type of chiddush. He says, there's a famous takana for Rav Gamliel. In the olden days, the Gemara tells us that people were being buried in very fancy takrich, in fancy clothing. And it ended up that poor people who couldn't afford this, they were pashut embarrassed of their loved ones who were nifter, that they couldn't dress them up. So it ended up, they used to leave them in the street and run away. They're mamash mevuzah from it. So Rav Gamliel says, this is crazy. People are leaving their mesim in the street. So Rav Gamliel left in his sava that he should only be buried in a very simple tachrichim and in a plain box and finished. And therefore, everyone should be a kavod ha-meis. And that became the minig, says the Gemara, that became the minig that now a person is buried the most simplest of ways. Simple tachrichim and a simple box. So Zokter Henkin, you see that you're not supposed to spend a lot of money on a funeral. That's what he says. You see Mefurish from Gamliel. So he says, even our simple ones today are, a little bit expensive. But he writes, so he says that even if someone is going to argue, he says that there's a hider to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't give anyone a right to spend a lot of money on it. And he says, what ends up happening is that people who aren't rich and almanas and yusaimim who are embarrassed not to do the trend, He says, you're going mamish keneged takanas Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel's takana was simple. If you're going to create a new custom, a fanciness, which costs a lot of money, says Rav Hagin, you're going against that takana. And he says, v'cheshvani sheyesh b'zeh mishum gezel amon of yusaymim. Whoever makes this type of trend is mamish stealing from amonis and yusaymim. He says, I know a story. Someone was nifter, he wasn't rich. And someone from the mishpacha said, oh, let's take him to Eretz Yisrael. And his almana said, she said, I can't afford it, but she was afraid to make any protest. They're going to think she's like, you know, doesn't want to do honor her husband. And because of that, she was masking, even though she couldn't afford it. He says, it's mamish gezel. And therefore, he says also in one of his tshuvas over here, he writes, he says, he's not stop talking about going to Eretz Yisrael. He's also talking about spending a lot of money on matzevas. It seems that there were fancy matzevas they were making in those days. This is in 1964 in Tavshin Chav Dalit. And he says, all these things are keneged takanas Rav Gamliel. He says, and now they want to start taking them to Eretz Yisrael. Mamish adding on more expenses. He says, we find the Gemara tells us, there's a Yerushalmi and Shkalim. It says, two Amarom were walking on the way and they saw a beautiful shul. And the other one screamed to the other one and said, beautiful shul, you know how much money was wasted on the shul that could have gone to people who need stucca and tamid chachamim who are learning? So Zakhtar Hankin, that's talking about a shul. That's talking about money for a shul, which is klara mitzvah to build a shul. And still the Gemara is saying there's a taina that you could have used the money for something more productive. He says, kal v'chaymer on something like this, spending on matzevas and spending going to Eretz Yisrael. He says that if someone's father left him money, or he has his own money, he says, don't waste it on any of this stuff. Give it to Loim de Torah and Tzedakah, and that you'll have the best out of that. So that's Rav Henkin's Chiddush over here against the whole idea. And the Satmar Rebbe also, the Divrei Yoel, in two or three places, also says, Loi shamanu davar kazeh, v'loi ra'inu davar kazeh. It doesn't very, you know, mesoretic a thing. We don't find that Aviseinu HaKadoshim ever did such a thing, and therefore he was not for it.
On that memory that the Rav mentioned about Shol not being too much, is anybody arguing on it? Because there's shuls that cost $50 million.
It's telling Yerushalmi. You can look up the Yerushalmi. Right. You can look up the Yerushalmi. Mamash Yerushalmi. So that is the you have the counter arguments here about burying in Eretz Yisrael and not burying in Eretz Yisrael. And Lamaisa, as expensive as it is to bury in Chutz Laaretz, to bury in Eretz Yisrael is hain rab much more of money, and that's kvar yadua. And therefore, I'm not telling anyone what to do. Obviously, everyone has to do what they do. But this is the shiloh over here. Now. What about, now I'll move on to the next Shaila. And the next Shaila is the concept, this was talking about Stam, L'chatchila, taking a mace to bury in Eretz Yisrael. We saw milas and we saw counter milas of which one, how to be noig, and that's why each one, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, everyone has to follow what their Mesaira perhaps says, what their Rav says, or what the Tzavo of the Nifter was. A lot of things have to be taken into account. Now, what about Pinui HaMeis? Pinui HaMeis means to exhume the body of a mace to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. That's a big shaila. So now, we have to know what the halach is first. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and Yerdeash Simen, Shin, Samach, Gimel, Osir Lefanis HaMeis. There's an Isser to exhume and take out a mace from their kever. Now, there's various reasons given for this, and as we'll see, there's various exceptions. So, the Ikar reasons are given. Number one is Mipnei Nivul Hameis. Nivul Hameis means that it's not Bakovedik for the mace. It's not Bakovedik. Now, as we'll see, that there might be a time limit on the Nivul Hameis. What's Nivul Hameis? And that is because a body decomposes. And when it decomposes, it doesn't look very good. It's very disgusting looking. So to take out a body when it's binivuloi, when it's in that state, is not a covet for the mace. We find that there's a concept of bimechabed a mace. The mace, the body, was the house of the neshama. And there's a covet. You give it a very big covet. And to see it and to deal with it while it's binivuloi, that's number one. Number two is that there's something called cherdas hadin. When you start moving around the mace, so he gets very afraid of what's going on. The lashon is shemargizin oisayim imnuchasai. It's resting. It's resting, and you start handling with it. It gets very scared, the mace. Now, there's another lashon that says bilbul. Bilbul sounds like it gets upset or confused or shook around. You find that Tzomus of Yehuda, right, were shaken around in the Aron all the years in the Midbar because of what he said in this week's parsha. V'chatasi lavi kalayom. There's a bilbul. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like, if you look in the Shach, he sounds like bilbul and cherdas hadin are really the same thing. They're one reason. You're bothering it mimnuchasai. But there's others, there's a tshuva, the Noida Behuda, and there's Cham Tzvi, that seem to say that they might be two independent reasons. There's a concept of tsar hames. Moving also is a tsar for the mace. There's a concept of bizoyin for the other mason. Why are you only moving this mace and not the other mason around? It's a bizoyin for other mason. So there's various reasons why there's an iser to be mefane hames. Now there's exceptions. There are exceptions. One of the exceptions in Shulchan Aruch is to take from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. If you want to take from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to be mefane hames. Now I want to just preface. It says beferish that if you make a tnai, when you bury the mace, that you plan on moving them, that tnai works for anything. The things that are the exceptions, like moving to Eretz Yisrael, you don't even need a tnai for. It's an automatic mila to go be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Like we've said, for all the milas, kol hakavur, the shach brings down because you're tachas mizbeach adama, and it's the schaperle. It's such a big mila that it overrides all of these reasons, yeah?
If you know you're going to bury it, bring it to Eretz Yisrael, but you don't have the money yet, in like in a year or two, you know you're going to have the money, can you vacuum pack it or something?
Vacuum pack it? So what, so it doesn't, you don't have the nevel?
Yes.
So we'll get to that. It's an interesting question. But you have to realize, part of the decomposition of a body is part of the kapara. So you really want it to happen. You want it to happen. We'll see. So we'll see. So this is an one of the exceptions is going to Eretz Yisrael. So Pina Hameis to go. There's another exception to go to Kever Avos. There's another exception, for example, if they're going to destroy a Beis HaKvaris and Goyim are going to take it over, Avadi could do that. The Vilna Goyim was moved in Vilna in the 70s from the old Beis HaKvaris to the Beis HaKvaris he is now. Reb Chaim Oizer was moved to that same Beis HaKvaris. All the Litvisher were moved. Reb Itzel Panovicher was moved all to Vilna, to the newer Beis HaKvaris, because they were destroying the Beis HaKvaris all around. So there's the concept. So we see over here the idea of moving a mace from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael overrides the Isser of Pinoy HaMeis. Now, the Noida Behuda points out that if you could get out of some of the reasons, now for example, like you were saying, the Nivel HaMeis, sorry, Leib, Nivel HaMeis. So Chazal tell us that the body decomposes for 12 months. So Zok the Noida Behuda, that after 12 months, there's no more nevel. He said there's also no cherdas hadin anymore, because the din is really over. And even though it seems you're moving it, mimnuchasai, but it doesn't sound, he says, after 12 months is not a problem. So therefore, he says, after 12 months, the pinei hameis is much more kuladik. It's much easier to do. So therefore, in your situation, even if you make it out tonight that you plan on moving it, but if you'll wait till after 12 months, so then you have a lot of miles. Now this was negeya taka to my shviger, because my shviger was nifter on Erev Shabbos Parshas Hazinu. Erev Sukkot was Sunday. Okay, Erev Sukkot was Sunday this year, and 2 days before Erev Shabbos Parshas Hazinu, she was nifter. Now she has karka, she has a kever on Har Menuchos waiting for her. My shver's father of Kreiswit is there, his mother's there, and then there's my shviger has a place, and my shver has a place waiting for him. So, Admeav Esim Shana. So this was the shaila. What should we do? It's Erev Shabbos. There's no way kemat to get her to Eretz Yisrael before Yom Tov. Okay? You leave Matzah Shabbos. Matzah Shabbos, the flight to leave, will get into Eretz Yisrael probably an hour before Yom Tov. And even if it's Shaykh that the Chevra Kadisha will be waiting right away and take her, it's still very close. No one would be able to go along with her, because there's no way they could get out quick enough. And if there's any delay, they're stuck in Ben-Gurion for Yom Tov. And if she has any delay, she's stuck in Ben-Gurion for Yom Tov, where there's no refrigeration, by the way, Lidia Bahama, till Matzah, either Matzah the first day, if you're going to say they're going to bury her Yom Tov Sheni, and not, or whatever it is. So it would be a long time till the Kvura. That was so what do you do? So what do you do? So I thought that there's no way my shver is ever going to be maskim to bury her in Chutz La'aretz. He has a kever waiting, it doesn't make any sense. Lamaisa, that this exact story happened with someone in Muncie 10, 15 years ago, someone named Rabbi Kanner. His mother was Nifter on Hashanah Rabbah, just like this year. So it was a Sunday Hashanah Rabbah. And she was Nifter Erev Shabbos, Chol HaMoed. Sunday was Hashanah Rabbah. The same thing, just a week later. And they went to Rav Eliashiv, what this should do. And Rav Eliashiv said, you bury her in Chutz La'aretz al Tznai, and in 14 months you can move her. Why 14 months? Rav Eliashiv said, 12 months, Chazal say, is equals decomposition. Lamaisa, maybe our dirt is not the same, the car, this and that, so give an extra 2 months just to be safe, and this. And they said the Satmar Rebbe also once gave such a psak, and that's what they ended up doing. So my shviger was nifter on a Friday at about 12:30, the Levi was that afternoon in Lakewood. They buried her al Tanai in Lakewood. She's still in Lakewood now. And Bez Hashem, you know, if Tchias HaMeisim doesn't happen, so next year, sometimes after Sukkis, they're going to take her to Eretz Yisrael. Now, we really didn't need a Tanai over there, because to go to Eretz Yisrael, you don't need a Tanai. And to go to Kever Avos, you don't need a Tanai. But they did it when they put it, before they put her in, they did it Mamash al Tanai, that they should be able to take her out. Now, someone called Reb Chatzko Roth, and asked him, and he said also to bury al Tanai, but he said you don't have to wait so long. After the Shloshim, you can move her. He didn't seem to be worried about the Ikol and all this type of stuff. Pinui Laretz, like I said before, Pinui Laretz Yisrael is mutter, it's an exception. The Nadib Yehud and all the Paiskim say, let's make it a little bit lighter and wait till the Ikol. But he says you don't have to. After 30 days, you can do it. But Lamaisa, my Shvarta said, there's a million and one other things that I do, just like Rav Eliashiv. He was the Paisik that I always followed. So I'll be Saimich on him for this as well.
According to the reason that the Rav said before about Yerushalayim, that it goes up, Adrav, Al-Khila, like Cheskarah, Dafka.
Get there as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Get there as quick as possible. Correct. Right, very good. Okay, now, let's continue. Now, there's the Igris Maisha. There was a Shaila in the year Tavshin Lamed Ches, should they move the kever of Moses Mantefior to Eretz Yisrael? This was a Shaila that was asked. And it had to do something with the estate. I don't know all the details over here. But the bottom line over here is that Ramosha says, he said, first of all, there's the Isser of Pinui Hames. He says, even though there's no Isser when you move to Eretz Yisrael, he says, Amar Dekechidish Ramosha. He says, the only people who are allowed to do such a thing are the children of the Mace. The children of the Mace who are moving their parents, Latoivas, moving their parents to Eretz Yisrael, they can make such decisions. Nobody else is allowed to move to go to Eretz Yisrael on their own. It's a chiddush, Rav Moshe says. And then he says, Bechlal, he says, I don't understand. Why are they so worried about Moses Mantefiore? He says, why weren't they worried about Harbe Go'ine Oilem Sadikim Kedoshim Shebechol Hamadinus Mechutz Laretz Shemadifi Me'asar Ve'ishtoi? They're a little bit more chashev. He was a chashev versus Moses Mantefiore. Did a lot for Klal Yisrael. What about all the tzadikim? Shehem Rabbi Seinu HaKadmoinim Bein Go'ine Ashkenazim Bein Go'ine HaSfardim Asher Hem Rabbi Seinu Bein LaShkenazim Bein LaSfardim. And no one has a problem. They're all left in Eretz Yisrael. And this kever, you're going to go and move? Him, you're going to go and move? He says, that's a bizoyin to all Rabbi Seinu Mimois Oilom. If you're going to go move Moses Mantefiore and no other tzaddikim, it's a bizoyin to all Rabbi Seinu Mimois Oilom. It's very stark here, Rav Moshe, doing it. Now, there was another problem. Moses Mantefiore, Dafka said he wants to be buried in Chutz Laretz. He didn't want to be buried there, so he said he wanted to be buried in Chutz Laretz. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, he was a rich guy. If he wanted to die and be buried there, so he should have gone there. He Dafka said he wants to, because Bechlal can't go against what he Dafka wanted to say. So, finished. So that is Rav Moshe saying. So Rav Moshe saying, Bechidish over here. Stam is like to move someone. It's only, even to Eretz Yisrael, there's a schus only to the kids, not to anybody else. Which is a little tzarachim, because we find throughout history that they moved to other people. Rameir Shapiro was moved to Eretz Yisrael. The Chida was moved to Eretz Yisrael. Lav Dafka by kids. Rameir Shapiro didn't have any kids. Right? People were moved to Eretz Yisrael for various reasons. So, but that's Rav Moshe Paskins over here with Moses Mantefiore. Now, just we're almost at the end over here. There was a fascinating story with the Karlina Rebbe. 1956 or 7. 56, I think. The Karlina Rebbe was nifter here in New York. And there was a ganze tumult, and if you remember, 1956, to get Eretz Yisrael wasn't easy. Rabbi Aaron was nifter in 1960 or 60, in the early 60s, and to get him to Eretz Yisrael, there was a stopover in Europe. It wasn't simple to fly to Eretz Yisrael in those days. To fly a coffin to Eretz Yisrael wasn't a simple thing. So now in the 50s. So what to do? Should they bury him in Chutz Laaretz in Eretz Yisrael? They weren't sure what he wanted. He always wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. There was a big, big, big tumult what to do. They couldn't figure out what to do. The Chassidim and Eretz Yisrael were telegrams were flying back and forth. That's what they were telegrams and those and nothing else. Lamaisa decided to make a gyro. Made a gyro and it came out to be buried in Chutz Laaretz in America. But they buried him al Tanai that if they ever find a tzava from him or any type of indication he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, that they'll be able to move him. And they dafki buried him with a box that didn't have openings on the bottom, thinking that they might have to move him to Eretz Yisrael. And that's what they did. So they buried him. 2 days after they buried him, now the party began. Should we, how, let's move him. Letters to the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a letter. The Chabina Rav has a letter. The Badatz of Eretz Yisrael, Pinchas Epstein, Rav Jungreis, and I forgot who the third Rav was. Does he bring it over here? Rav Yisrael Reisman. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. So Yitzchak Reisman was on the Badatz. The letters back and forth what they should do, and they all come out, very interesting, the Har Tzvi is very stark about it, and they all come out that they should move him to Eretz Yisrael. And especially because he wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael when he was alive, you saw that he wanted to Eretz Yisrael, so they all talk, it was a big to-do, and Lamaisa, they moved him, they talk, ended up moving him to Eretz Yisrael. And it's interesting, the Badat said that even though the Zayar HaKadosh says not, do we mention the Zayar? You think the Chassidim go much more with the Zayar? They said, it's interesting, it says Lamaisa, when the Zayar is a stira to the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, so you go with the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. Now, granted, that's a whole shmooz b'fnei atzmai, because Chassidim don't always do that. Very often they take the Zayar over the Gemara, right? Mishabura says in two or three places that when you take the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch over the Zayar. Chassidim don't always do that. But over here, it seems they felt they should, and you even find Svardim, who are also very big into the Zayar, also didn't seem to go with the Zayar over here. So Memela, they paskin, and this was a big to-do and a lot of chuvas about it. They ended up taking him 14 or 16 months later to Eretz Yisrael. They said when they dug him up and they took him, his body was shalim like the day that he was nifter. So that he don't have the nevel problem. Here's the other way, he don't have the nevel problem because he's shalim like day number one. So that's the mice with Carlina Rebbe, and there was again a lot of chuvas and letters flying for back and forth. Now we're just going to end off with one thing, and that is that there's a minig in Chutz Laaretz, the Ramah brings down, to put in some dirt from Eretz Yisrael into the kever, into the aron of the mace. V'yesh lehem amashi yismaychu. Says the Ramah, there's what to rely on for such a minig. Now what's the, some say the dirt should come from Harazesim, it's brought down. So what's the source of this? So the source is that Yerushalmi and Kalayim that we mentioned before. The Yerushalmi and Kalayim says that they were bringing someone from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, and they said, and someone made a comment and said that what are you bringing? This mesim, you be metame Eretz Yisrael with mesim Chutz Laaretz. So they told him right before they get to Eretz Yisrael, they take some Eretz Yisrael dirt and they put it on the Oren to be kidechsiv chiper ad mosay amai, and therefore it's as if he's part of Eretz Yisrael there and he could go into Eretz Yisrael. So the source of the minig is for people going from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael on the way in to take some Eretz Yisrael dirt, put it on the person to allow him to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. That's the source of the minig. Now, our minig is, and this the Geshe Chaim rings down, our minig is to take dirt from Eretz Yisrael to put on the mace in Chutz Laaretz to be buried in Chutz Laaretz. That there's no real source for, it seems. That's what the Ramah says, Yesh le mamashi yismaychu. We have some type of smicha. That story is a little bit smicha to use dirt of Eretz Yisrael, but the real yesod of the Yerushalmi is really to allow him to be buried in Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Laaretz, not to be buried in Chutz Laaretz. Lamaisa, there is a Medrash Talpiyos that says that if they put, the Ramah just says they put in the kever, they put in the mace. The Lash of the Medrash Talpiyos is to put dafka on the eyes of the mace, on the stomach of the mace, on mokam milasai, that's what they do. And the Zok, the Medrash Talpiyos, v'nechshav ki'ilu kover be'eretz Yisrael mamish. By using some of that dirt, and putting it in certain locations on the mace, there's some type of maila kilu cover Beretz Yisrael mamish, and that's the chachmas adam's also mashma. It's not just to throw in some dirt; it's to put it in specific places, and somehow that makes it kilu cover Beretz Yisrael mamish. So therefore, some type of maila is a Beretz Yisrael. Now the Gesher Achayim goes into real, like, you know, this is, you know, if you approach this, he approaches like this more like a Kabbalah, because, like a mystical type of thing. You take dirt from Eretz Yisrael, Ki'ilu, you're there, all this type of thing. He comes like a very halachic, you know, dry way of looking at it. He starts bringing Gemaras. You remember the Gemaras maybe in Gittin, if you have a piece of dirt of Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlar, it's a chayv and meiser, things that grow, all those, he starts bringing them. He says, whoever heard of such a thing, the dirt from Eretz Yisrael that's now in Chutzlar, it still retains its Kedusha. He gets very halachic out of it, and he's like mitama on the whole minig. But lemaisa, it's the minig, and we see this Medrash Talpius does say such a thing. So the milas that we're saying about buried in Eretz Yisrael, so we also have this minig to get some of those milas through burying it that way, and that is another way that even being in Chutz Laretz, you can get the kaparas of Eretz Yisrael, kilu kaver Eretz Yisrael, which taka bizoicha, that they say it's a school of Yibaya Kever, it's a school of Arichas Yomim. We learn about these in Yonim, it should be a school of Arichas Yomim. We should be Zeicha to Tchias HaMeisim B'Karev, we should be Zeicha to Mashiach Tzidkenu, Vimheira V'Yomeinu.